start anyway.
The spell is broken.
Luke 15. We now start a new chapter.
What is that little seizure after?
Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. It doesn't mean that every publican and every sinner came to hear him. It means that the crowd that was coming to him now was made up mostly of publicans and sinners. It's just a way it's translated makes it seem like all of the publicans in Israel and all the sinners in Israel were coming out to him, but that's not what it means. Remember, the publican was a tax collector. There were tax collectors whose their income depended on how much tax they collected. So they were notoriously evil in terms of just gouging people in order for them to make more money. And they were Jews. That's the whole point of it. They were their countrymen that were seen to be traitors because of their. They were benefiting the Roman government. Sinners is, we've studied this many times, but I don't think we can study it enough. It's, the plural is hamatolos instead of hamatia. It doesn't matter how much you miss the mark. It doesn't matter how close you are to the center of the bullseye. If you're not exactly into it, if you're one micron away, you might as well have missed the whole target. So there's no possibility that you can not be a sinner, because there's no possibility that you can ever get it right. And again, remember this incredible thing that in the order of the offerings, it was first the sin offering and then the trespass offering. And that didn't make any sense to me for many years or for a long time, until it finally struck me that, and it's been confirmed a jillion times, but that sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. You are the man of sin, the son of perdition. You are the snake that ate, that enticed Eve to eat the apple. That's you. Now, the thing that makes you you is your mind and your emotions, your persona. And so that is your you-ness. There's no escaping it. Let's look at some scriptures. Let's go to Romans 3.
When you first said that, that used to bother me a lot, and it doesn't anymore. But now I just repent.
All right, Romans 3. Verse 10. It's hard to believe that this is talking about you and I and all men. As it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, and they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. All the world may become guilty before God. Let's go to Romans 7. Start in verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in this newness of life, of newness of spirit, and not in oldness of letter. The only solution for sin is death. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. This is, to try to comprehend this with the mind is trying to have a fish describe water. It can't be done.
Something I saw a minute ago where you mentioned blood, I think. But it's like our blood is tainted.
It's like what?
Our blood is tainted. You know, there's life in the blood, and in that life, I mean, the sin thing goes deep.
All right, where did I stop?
Verse 7,
thou shalt
not covet.
Oh yeah, thou shalt not covet. Now, do you understand, what does it mean to covet?
Well, more than we have.
Want the situation that you're in, should be different than it is.
Yeah.
To want more than is in, that you have with you right now. Now, do you understand there's nothing that your mind can do, nothing but covet? You cannot use your mind except, I don't know any way that your mind does not covet. Because your mind is hardwired for self-realization, because it is of self-awareness. This is why it's so critical. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you can nowise enter the kingdom of God.
We're hardwired for pleasure.
Well,
from the standpoint of always wanting something a little better or different or exciting.
I mean, does everybody agree with that? That what to covet means to want things to be different than they are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does everybody agree that your mind can do nothing but covet?
Yes.
Well, I have a hard time agreeing.
Huh?
I have a hard time agreeing that that's all it does, but it certainly does a whole lot of that.
Well, but it all has, I mean, at the root of it, all of the mind's activities are coveting. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Everybody remember what concupiscence was?
No, I forgot.
What is it? We're at verse 8, chapter 7, Romans 7, verse 8.
Concupiscence.
Severe coveting?
Severe coveting.
That was just a wild guess.
It's a wild ass in heat and smelling a female.
That would be extreme coveting.
All manner of concupiscence. Why? Because whatever you try to fight against, you are giving strength to. Whatever you are against, you're subconsciously subject to. This is why we find so many of the religious leaders that are anti-homosexual, they don't end up being homosexual. You understand? Because to fight against it, it empowers the thing that you're fighting with. I mean, the funny part of these guys that Trinity investigates is they think we're some sophisticated we're a bunch of yokels. Because you have to empower your enemy because that makes you more elevated. But that's easy to see that in them. But can you see it in you? When you fight against something, no matter whether it's some issue with sexuality or I don't care what it is, you empower it. I've said for years, the two most important words in the Bible are reckon and yelet. It has nothing to do with fighting. It's reckoning, seeing yourself as dead, and letting, therefore, that mind which is in you, which was in Christ Jesus, be your mind. The emptiness is not, that's the opposite of fighting against something.
Fighting against it, giving it validity and importance. Versus dying to it. Or dying yourself.
That's been a major feature of my, I don't want to say consciousness or whatever, but I find if I'm fighting something, then it's got power. And I see it a lot in other people.
No, I mean, it's mind bending. It's It's just because it's so counterintuitive. To me, anyway.
This phraseology here always kind of got me, that for sin taken occasion by the commandment. It's like there's some intelligence in sin. It realizes it can profit by the commandment, thou shalt not, or whatever the commandment is here. Is the commandment all law?
No, it's just whatever I am. Whenever you see a commandment, or what you think is a commandment, then sin will take occasion for that and empower the thing you're fighting against, or the thing the law says to do.
Yeah.
All right. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now that's you can, there's no more important phrase in the Bible. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And that was a humongous surprise. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But when the revelation of Christ came, then all that the commandment did was to see his death. That's why I'm trying to get you guys to study in the death penalty offenses for breaking the Sabbath. The only solution can be your death. But your mind, you understand that when the evil one resurrected himself from the deadly head wound, it was endemic to each of the offspring. You didn't have a choice. And so then you spend the rest of your Christian life, if you become a believer, of trying to bring your mind into the kingdom of God. Can't be done. All right. The commandment, verse 10, the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. How many times has he said he's dead there? Several. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good.
Every scripture has the word died, dead, death. Death. Slain.
Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear to be sin, or be revealed to be sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now the rest of Romans 7 is what we've talked many times. What you want to do, you don't do. What you don't want to do, that's what you do. As long as you're using your mind, this is always the situation. You'll remain in Romans 7, the last part of it. That's Romans 7 is the wilderness. Romans 8, then you enter into the promised land. For that which I do, I don't want to do. For what I want to do, that I do not. But what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do that which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that is good. And if you reach that point, then that is a milestone in the revelation of Christ. Because you finally see that the commandments are spiritual, that you don't have any choice in the matter. You're dead. It's constant. The evil one is trying to resurrect himself.
What's the last part of 16? I consent unto the law that it's good.
What is it?
Well, in 16, I...
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
what?
Which I would not. I consent unto the law that's good. If you do that you wouldn't do, then you say that the law is good.
You're consenting unto the law that it is good because you're doing what you don't want to do. That's the biggest revelation that can happen in you. Then you stop fighting.
You see the purpose of the law.
You see the purpose of the law because you see the law is spiritual.
It's worked on you and brought you to the end.
Right, but it... It brought the evil one. It brought the fruit of the curse to be revealed. And you are the fruit of the curse. Many, many, many generations of fruit of the curse. That's who you are. No, Christ is the only way the law can be realized.
Repenting, dying to self is the only way. But without repentance.
But you've got to always understand that the mind cannot be sanctified. The mind can only be emptied. And so I mean, I did this a long time. I tried to use my mind to affect sanctification. And it was just crazy. It just, until I finally saw that no matter how you can run with this 16 ways from Sunday, but you can't escape it. That the default position in you as a hunk of flesh is the evil one. You understand that? To return to the mind for any purpose is the resurrection of the evil one. To pay attention and give heed, whether it doesn't matter whether it's cause and effect, doesn't matter whether it's paying attention to your emotions. It doesn't matter whether you're doing it to chase women. It's all the same thing. It's the default position, always and ever, is the evil one. That's why that mind, which is Christ in you, has to always be empty. And it says, be filled with the Spirit. You can't be filled with the Spirit if you're filled with you. The Spirit isn't going to, he isn't going... That's why we have such crazy things in the charismatic movement. We have supposedly speaking in tongues, and all they do is talk baby talk. They forgot that tongues is a language, and you don't have any idea what language it is. for the most part. But you have to be, filled with the Spirit. The only way to be filled with the Spirit is emptied of you. The charismatic movement tries to keep you in the picture and say you have the gifts of the Spirit. No. You have the gift of crowd control or crowd dynamics or the latent power of Adam, but it has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is revealed only in your emptiness. You may long for it. You may find, fakes of it all over the place. But it is, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That can't happen. You can't be filled with the Spirit unless you've emptied this thing. They can't exist together. So anyway, let's go on. In 17, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's the humongous revelation. It's that sin is a person. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no longer more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And as long as you resist sin, you're empowering it. You're giving, you're breathing life into the evil one. You simply accept your death and stop using or giving importance to this beast. I find in the law, when I would do good, the evil one is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? No one. No one is delivering him. But he thanks God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind of Christ, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, your mind, I serve the law of sin. We'll go up to 8, just while we're here, go to chapter 8, verse 7. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're in the flesh if you're using your mind.
How does it square with your mind, you serve the law of God.
It's the mind of Christ. That's the emptiness. That's the whole idea of it. Sincerity can be total, but the deception is also total. Now, sinners, that he's talking here, it says the publicans and sinners were his followers. Now, they were, how could that be? Because they knew they were sinners. They knew they were sin. So they welcomed baptism because they saw it as their burial. That's why, you know, when John the Baptist, he, incredible scene. All who this guy was. They just went out to see him because he was a rock star. And then he said, all right, those of you who understand that you've been deceived by people telling you that your birthright is an entrance into the kingdom of God, but you know internally that that's crap, you come to the other side. And be buried in your baptism. And let a new creature come forth. It has nothing to do and no reference to the old creature. It's not new in time, it's new in order. Different class, a different, an alien has invaded you. All right, that's enough for today. Anybody have any response?
See a huge contrast back and forth, mind of Christ, mind of flesh.
Yeah, it's because that's what happens as new believers. Yeah. Hopefully as new believers, but because you in effect are trying to sanctify the works of the flesh. But then you can't. And so what you do is you become a Pharisee. You separate. There's different life over here and a life over here. Mind will always try to cause that to take place. So there can be a spiritual life and a secular life.
So you think Paul was talking about back when he was a new believer? It seems like he's saying currently, saying with my mind.
Well, always. It never stops.
Yeah.
If you want to use your mind, this is what you're faced with.
Yeah.
If you have the integrity that Paul did, but he's saying, if I use my mind here, that's the predicate. He's telling us what's happened to him. And now he's abandoned. Now he sees the mystery. Now probably this fight probably had to happen 15, almost constantly when he became a new believer. That's why he was alone in the wilderness. Now, you know, it's the rare thing that the evil one is resurrected. But it doesn't mean he's in any way. I mean, it's always and only the righteousness can ever be of anything to do with you. And that's why the greatest man that ever lived according to Christ, bring forth fruit suitable for repentance. Always. That's what we've talked about many times. That's the meaning of integrity. That you see and become just one rather than two. All right, take a big guy.